Invite you to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1 as the young people are dismissed to Children's Church. 1 Peter chapter 1. Oh, some of you are wondering. I did go see my surgeon, had another follow-up. I go see my surgeon at KU Medical Center about twice a year. This time I did not have a CAT scan or MRI. I'll do that next time I go, but got the all clear again. So looked good and no sign of a return of cancer. So it's been a little over 5 years now. So we praise the Lord for that. At the time I went through that surgery, you didn't know from day to day what's going to happen. And what about all this radiation and chemo and everything? Is it going to work? Well, so far, so good. Anyway, thank you for praying about that. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. If you're able, let's stand together and follow along as I read. 1 Peter 1, 1 through, no, verse 3. We're going to begin at verse 3. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively, living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, and I might add, and reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. We'll just stop there. That's for another time. Our riches in Christ. We're talking about our riches in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray your blessing on our time in your word this morning. We need you, Lord. We need your help. I need your help. Help me as I preach, Lord. I want to honor you. Help me to speak in a way that people understand, that we all hear your voice, Lord, and hear your word. May Jesus be magnified, glorified, lifted up, exalted in the word, in our hearts and lives. And I pray we might go away from here being able to say it was good to be in the house of the Lord and hear the word of God this morning. Thank you for your love. We've sang these songs that speak of your love and your grace and your power, and we just thank you, Lord, for all we have in Christ. Just bless now as we continue. Again, may your name be honored in Jesus' name. Amen. Our riches in Christ, a heavenly inheritance. These Christians to whom Peter writes, these followers of Jesus Christ, whom he calls strangers scattered in verse 1, because they were being persecuted for their faith. In fact, Nero was blaming them for the burning of Rome, and many think Nero himself set Rome on fire, but they blamed the Christians, so they were running for their very lives for the most part. And yes, hated they were, vilified, persecuted, but in the midst of all the worry and fear and even sorrow, they are told by Peter that they are rich beyond measure. I mean, can you believe it? These people need encouragement. What's Peter say? Oh, by the way, you are rich. Well, what greater encouragement can you get than to be reminded that you are rich in Christ? They are told that they are rich beyond all measure. And if you are in Jesus Christ today, no matter your circumstances, you too are rich with untold riches of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. And these riches are yours and mine to enjoy. And so I can say, I'm rich, I'm rich, I am rich. We see, first of all, that the riches, of his abundant mercy are mine, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again in verse 3. We looked at that last time. The riches of his abundant mercy are mine. Secondly, we see that the riches of a living hope by the resurrection are mine. We also looked at that last time. Unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It isn't a vain hope, a false hope, a so-so hope, but it is a living hope, a real hope, anchored in the promise of God. And then thirdly, we come this morning to the riches of a heavenly inheritance are mine. They're mine. I'm trying to personalize this. You understand that? They are mine. And God tells me they are mine. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Not only have we experienced his abundant mercy, not only have we been born again, not only do we have a living hope, not only is that hope guaranteed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but it all is headed to a rich, rich, rich inheritance. Now, what is an inheritance? I've heard of it, right? Never gotten one, right? An inheritance. An inheritance is something received, something gifted to you when a person dies. You didn't earn it. You don't have to steal it. You don't deserve it necessarily, but it was gifted to you. When I see someone with a brand new car whom I know cannot begin to afford that brand new car, would not even qualify for a loan for that brand new car, although it doesn't take much to qualify for a loan for a brand new car, unfortunately. But when I see someone like that, they might tell me that they purchased it with the inheritance they got from their grandmother. I go, oh, I understand now. I would have gone out and bought a new car too. I received an inheritance once. My Aunt Marjorie died some, 15 years ago. And when she died, she had no children. Well, she never did have children, so even when she was alive. She had no children, so she gave all her money to her nieces and nephews and grandnieces and grandnephews, of which I was one. And I think she had around, now, you got this? She had around $2,000. And it was divided up among 14 of us. So I remember getting a check in the mail for around $140. That was my inheritance. Now, I do not remember what I did with it, but I didn't go buy a car with it. I know I didn't put it in my savings account. Maybe I gave it to the church. That's what I did. Surely I gave it to the church. I don't know. It's been too long ago. Well, we as Christ's children are going to receive an inheritance. It is a heavenly one. A heavenly inheritance, and we are going to be rich, 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 rich. In fact, we are already rich, rich, rich. Inheritance. An inheritance in the Bible means regularly the gift of God to his chosen people. In the Old Testament, an inheritance was usually talking about the promised land. The people of Israel would inherit the promised land. In the New Testament, it is a possession viewed in one sense as present, in another sense as future. It is shared by all believers. We now have an inheritance, and we will have an inheritance. Both are true. Now, an inheritance can bring out the worst in people. In fact, the Bible even speaks of that in Luke 12:13. One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. This guy had a brother and he wouldn't share the inheritance. I don't know if it wasn't drawn up right in the will or what, but I suppose the old brother said, it's all mine. You're not getting anything, little brother. Go take a hike. And so he says to the master, tell him to share it with me. They were having a conflict. In fact, in the parable of the vineyard, the Lord said, But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir, come let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And people have killed over getting an inheritance. Now, not everybody will receive a heavenly inheritance. In Ephesians 5:5, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, or unclean person, or covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Someone living in sin, someone outside the saving grace of Christ will receive no inheritance. Heaven will not be theirs. But in Ephesians 1:18 we read, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints is all about." We can know that. And again, we are rich beyond measure. We have a huge, a very huge inheritance that we will possess. Mark it down. It's coming. It's coming. It's guaranteed. Now we have the earnest of the Holy Spirit. But in that day, we will possess our possession. We will enjoy the pleasures of our inheritance throughout eternity. And they will never fade away. It'll never get old. The joy, the happiness, the thrill, the freedom from sin. Can you imagine being free from sin? Free from the curse, the absence of Satan, the disappearance of the pull, the struggle with the flesh. And you know what that is? It was a struggle just to get out of bed. That's because of sinful flesh. We don't want to do what's right. We don't want to get up and get going even. All that will be a thing of the very distant past. And we will be free. We'll be free from sickness and disease and trials and troubles and guilt and sorrow and dogs and cats and worries and fears and failures and all the corruption we experience now. There will be absolutely no corruption, imperfections. I know your dog is perfect. Yeah, right. Ask Gemma about her dogs. But she loves them. But sometimes they give her a lot of trouble too. Okay, it is a glorious inheritance. But the true glory of our inheritance is in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the glory. He is all the glory. We sing in the song, "The sands of time are sinking. The sands of time are sinking. The dawn of heaven breaks. The summer morn I've sighed for. The fair sweet morn awakes. Dark, dark hath been the midnight, but day spring is at hand. And glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. O Christ, he is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love. The streams on earth I've tasted, more deep I'll drink above. There to an ocean fullness his mercy doth expand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not glaze that glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land." That's why we will be rich, why we are rich beyond measure. We have an inheritance, friends. We enjoy the taste of it now, but we'll drink of its fullness then when we are ushered into that heavenly realm that our eye hath not seen, nor has our ear heard, but by the seeing and hearing of faith. But faith is turned into sight in that day, when we take full possession of our heavenly inheritance. And the Lord will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou." Enter thou, our Lord will say to you and me who know him. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Matthew 25:21. Now, not everyone will hear that. Not everyone will enter in. In Matthew 5:20, Jesus said, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." In other words, we've got to have righteousness to enter in. And the only righteousness that'll qualify us to enter in is the righteousness of Christ, which we receive by faith when we trust him as Savior. Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in to the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." in Luke 13:24, strive to enter into the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Not everyone that's talking about heaven is going to heaven, are they? Only those that have Christ. Jesus said in John 10:9, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in by the holiest, into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We have boldness to enter in by prayer, by faith, and in that day by our glorified body through the blood of Jesus Christ. In Revelation 21:27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles. But Revelation 22:14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates unto the city. You who know Christ will have the right to enter in. And God will never take that right away from you. But for those who enter in, my, oh my, what wonder, what glory, what a marvelous thing. We read in 1 Corinthians 15:53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. It must be so. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death, that's all we know now. Death, corruption, defilement. But in that day, it will be gone. Turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 7. And verse 13, I want to read just a couple places in Revelation. Revelation 7:13, we read of that heavenly inheritance. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? Where did they come from? Revelation 7:14, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God. And they serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. You know, and I don't believe that the Lord will ever be out of our sight, ever, for all eternity. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them into living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. We got it made. We just have it made. We are what? Rich, 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 beyond measure. And in Revelation 21 and verse 4, Revelation 21, he begins in verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for all the old passed away. And then jump to verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither crying, nor sorrow, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And in the end of verse 6, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. God gives. He wants to give to you eternal life. He wants to give to you hope and joy. And he wants you to realize you are rich, because he was made poor that we might be rich. He left the riches of heaven to die for us poor sinners, that we might inherit glory. And then Revelation 22, verse 1. Oh, so beautiful. Look into your future. It's right here. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And I believe that river is huge. It is just huge beyond imagination. It is wonderful. We're going to be by that river all the time. We're never going to want to leave it. And in the midst of the street of it, and on the either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielding her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Well, we need that now, don't we? But in that day we will see it. And there shall be no more curse. Isn't it interesting how heaven is described and defined by negatives? What will not be there? That's because all we know now is the negatives. And he's telling us all your negatives will be turned into positives in that day. But there will be no more curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Wow. And there'll never be an eclipse in heaven. Nothing will eclipse the light of the glory of God that will shine forever. That's a partial description of our inheritance. Now, Peter uses, in our passage, back to 1 Peter 1, Peter uses three terms to describe the indescribable inheritance awaiting us. Verse 4, 1 Peter 1, to an inheritance, incorruptible, 1, undefiled, 2, and that fadeth not away, 3, reserved in heaven for you. Number 1, and this is all we're going to get to today probably, it is incorruptible. That heavenly inheritance that will be ours is incorruptible. In other words, it will not deteriorate. It will not perish because it is imperishable. It will not rot or rust or be ruined by any corrupting influence, because our heavenly inheritance is awaiting us in a place that knows nothing of such corruption. The word corruption does not exist in heaven. Now that's hard to imagine, since that's all we know. All we know now is corruption and decay and deterioration. Just look at your house. Look at your car. Say, well, my car's pretty new. But if it's not brand new, it's already corrupting, right? Didn't you see there's a little rust on the bottom of it? Doesn't take long, right? First car we bought after we were married in 1972, got a 1972 Volkswagen. Brand spanking new, beautiful little white bug. I paid $2,400 for it, retail. And we drove that thing for 11 years plus. By the time we quit driving it, the bottom of that thing, it's got a steel plate all across the bottom. It was total rust, just rust. Oh, made us cry when we thought of how it used to look so beautiful. Anyway, it's all deteriorated. Look at your house. Look at your car. Look at your carpet. Look at your body. No, don't look too closely. But it's going down, isn't it? It's going down. Nothing much gets better with time. All things around us are subject to decay. And we put so much time and energy. We wax our cars. We clean our garage. We pamper our bodies. Well, some of us do. Some of us can do a little of that. We don't. But we put so much time and energy into this life, and we come up empty every time. It's so vain. We need to be careful that we don't work and work and maneuver and put all our effort into having everything we want and need to be able to live the American dream, because we're going to be sorely disappointed in the end. Now, as they say, if the barn needs paint, and paint it, right? That does help. Do what we can to keep going, realizing it's not going to be forever. We're tempted to expect too much out of this life, and the, all the glittery things of this life just don't fulfill. And they cannot fulfill the spiritual emptiness in our hearts. What are you trying to fill that void with? Our hearts are empty without Christ, and many are filling them with all kinds of junk, and it never satisfies. This life can steal our joy. Are the things of this life robbing you of the joy of the Lord? Are the things of this life crowding out the Word of God, crowding out a time of prayer, even crowding out being faithful to God's, to the church that God's given you? It can happen, and it does all the time. They just don't, it doesn't fulfill. This life steals our joy. This life is simply full of trouble. Just turn on the news. Every time you turn the news on, we have late breaking news, folks. Well, every day with our president is breaking news, according to the news media, you know. It's kind of fascinating, really, but wow. It's just full of trouble. Don't expect too much out of it, and then you won't be disappointed. But we expect too much. We're just working for the American dream, whatever that is, you know. Just be grateful for the little blessings. And God gives us so many little blessings along the way. We've got to eat and we've got to drink. God says, whether therefore you eat or drink, do all to what? To the glory of God. Do it in the light of the fact that God is observing. God is involved in it. This life is just full, very full, and running over with corruption. Again, the news, corruption. Look down the street. Every time we turn around, we got cops going down our street. I don't know. You don't want to come down our neighborhood because they're just all over down there. We always got something. It's kind of fascinating, really. You know, you live on some of these places, like where some of you live, you never get to see the cops. We see them all the time and see them get out and go to somebody's door and then another. And next thing you know, you got four cop cars pulling up and you start looking at each other. What did you do, dear? No, what did you do? But fortunately, they stay away from our house. Ever since our teenage boys left the home, we don't have cops coming to our house anymore. We used to get visits once in a while. This life is just very full of corruption, and we have a hard time comprehending an inheritance that doesn't have corruption. But our heavenly inheritance has none of it. None of it. Not a smidgen, to quote our former president. The water mains, the water lines of heaven will never burst or even leak. The roads will never develop potholes. The fields will have no weeds or thorns. Mosquitoes will just be a faint memory in that day. And you will not be corrupt either. Can you imagine you without corruption? You without deterioration? You without sin? It's hard to imagine. Now, if you don't know Christ, you won't fit into this place. You don't belong there. Nothing will enter in that defiles, right? Corruption cannot inherit incorruption. We read in 1 Corinthians 15:42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, but it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. And verse 49, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. Now all we know is what is earthly. Then all we'll know is what is heavenly. We read in 1 Corinthians 15, we need to set our affection above. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Set your affection on things above if you're risen with Christ. What is this inheritance we will receive? Well, back in 1 Peter 1, the clue is given to us in verse 5 that it's unto a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Our inheritance includes a salvation that will be revealed fully in the last time. You see, our inheritance is the full and final salvation that comes to its complete fruition in heaven. It is the final aspect of our salvation. Our salvation began the day we believed, right? When we were begotten of God. But it isn't complete yet. There is a past aspect. We have been saved from the penalty of sin, where we were justified and our sins were placed on Christ and his righteousness was given to us. We exchanged our sin for his righteousness. We presently are being saved from the power of sin so that it no longer has dominion over us, but we will be saved from the presence of sin. Okay, so we were saved from the penalty of sin, we are being saved from the power of sin, and we will be saved in the future from its very presence. That's the incorruptible part of our inheritance, when we will be delivered fully, finally, completely from all, I emphasize the word all, from all decay and all sickness and trouble and conflict and pain and suffering and grief and guilt. No more guilt in heaven. Can you imagine? We hardly go through a day without having guilt, right? No sorrow, anxiety, tears, hatred, disappointment, misunderstanding, weakness will be gone. House painting, vacuuming, car repair bills, dental problems, heart condition, vision problems, a failure, confusion, the IRS, the U.S. government, and everything else is full of corruption. None. I love so much how John says it in 1 John 3, one of my favorite passages, 1 John 3, 1 and 2, and 1, 2, and 3, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. And every man that has this hope purifies himself. That's worth living for. And that's why we're to live a life of holiness now. A life that says no to sin. A life that says no to the world, the flesh, and the devil. Love it not. Don't love the world. Okay? God gives us victory if we'll appropriate what he's given to us. You may be going through some very difficult times now. And I mean difficult, difficult times. Some of you are, some of you have gone through times that some of us have never experienced. We don't know what it's like to go through what you've gone through. But you won't then. You will not go through difficult times in that day. Just hang in there, because it won't be long. Your life is a vapor, remember? And aren't we happy that our life is just a vapor? Yeah, we should be. Your life is like a flower of the grass that grows up and blooms today and fades away tomorrow. Praise the Lord. We don't live in this life of corruption forever. You have failed and failed and failed again. You've been so sick that you're tired of the sickness. You've been disappointed so many times, you can't count them anymore. You have so many regrets that they just overwhelm you. But you remember the Lord said, weeping may endure for a little moment, but joy comes in the morning, and it's an eternal morning. Psalm 30, verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Now we have tears. Now we have sorrow, loneliness, the loss of a loved one. Oh, the loneliness, the heartache, the sorrow it brings. That sorrow will be turned to rejoicing and joy in that day. Psalm 126:5. And Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Matthew 5:4. Jesus said in John 16:20-22, verily, verily, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy. Jesus wants you to have joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for the joy that a man was born into the world. I always find that curious. It says that a man was born into the world. Does not a mother have joy over a girl that's born in the world too? I think so. Well, we'll take man to mean both men and women. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And your joy no man takes from you. Again, John 16:20. What blessing the Lord wants us to have. What comfort for you and me. God has made you rich. He wants you to enjoy your riches now and especially then. And now we have that sure hope, that living hope that we will inherit glory. Well, that glory is incorruptible. It's also undefiled, undefiled means it's unpolluted, unstained, can't be touched by defect. It is unfading. It will not fade away. So it's incorruptible, it's undefiled, it's unfading. Another phrase to say the same thing about its permanence, its nature, is, that's just another way to say the same thing about how permanent it is. It's unfading. It will not fade away. Our inheritance never, ever, ever loses its supernatural glory, like what we experience now. It's not like 1 Peter 1:24, where the grass and the flower of the grass withers and fades away. Our inheritance never fades, never has defect, never is corrupted, never plundered. All that we have in heaven is forever. 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 Unchanged. Forever. As our unchanging Lord. And He never changes. And He is all the glory. Are you looking forward to that day? It's coming. It's coming. I heard about my inheritance, and I was checking my mail every day to get that check from Aunt Marjorie. And it came. It finally came. It's coming. Look forward to it. Live for it. He is worth living for. Every man that has this hope purifies himself. Are we doing that? How are we doing in the area of living our lives for the glory of God? May God help us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for Your many, many promises, including some of which we dwelled on this morning. Thank You, Lord. You want us to have joy. You want us to have a smile, knowing the great hope we have. Lord, I thank You so much that You have blessed us with such rich, rich spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ now, and that You are blessing us with the hope we have for the inheritance we'll receive then, and we will be blessed beyond measure in that day. God, thank You so much. Thank You for sending Your Son to die upon the cross, to bear our sorrow, our pain, the man of sorrows who entered into this sorrowful, corrupt world to pay for the price we can never pay. Thank You, Father. I pray for anyone here this morning who's not sure of heaven, not sure they know Christ. They'll come to Him, cry out to Him today, even before it's eternally too late. Have Your way now as we close. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to that hymn of invitation, which is number 325. 325. And as you find that hymn, let's stand together as we sing. 325.